Lord. Praise God. I got a dog story for you today, too. I have a grand puppy. Mark and Joey have a little dog that they've got, and his name is Thor, and he's real little. He's cute as can be. And, you know, you were talking about, Mike, about, you know, your dog crawling up and laying on your chest. You know, when you was talking about that, I was thinking about how John laid his head on Jesus' bosom, you know, at the Last Supper. And we all see that painting of that picture, you know. And, you know, that was John's way of just loving on the Lord, you know. He could hear the heartbeat of God when he did that, you know. And, but, you know, getting back to Thor, well, I've only seen him a couple of times because we haven't. Joey and them don't want me to get sick so I can get my surgery. So they've been super careful. They won't come around without a mask on or that, you know, we've not been getting together. And I haven't been worried about it, but Margaret's been real protective of me because she wants me to go ahead and get this done, you know. And anyway, we was up there Friday? Yeah, Friday. I came in and, you know, I hadn't seen the little puppy for a long time. And Margaret's the dog person. I mean, Margaret just loves dogs and they were raised with them and stuff. And usually the dogs can just sense that with her and they just take right up with her all right away. But he kept jumping up and I kept petting him, you know. And I was thinking, you know, I'm not his master. And Joey was showing us, you know, the other day that she had trained him to sit and you know, to stay and some different things. And I was thinking, you know, he was really being obedient, and she'd reward him, you know, a little bit when he'd do it. And I was thinking, you know, Mark and Joey and those kids, that's that dog's master. But when we were talking about not only expending that love toward the Lord, but expending it towards other people, that dog kept jumping up on me, and I was rubbing him, and he was licking me and carrying on. And, you know, either he sensed that I was part of the family or something. But you know, my old dog story that I told was when the Lord basically was dealing with me about the Lord seeking such to worship him in spirit and truth. And I'm gonna tell that story real quick just because we're talking about dogs here for a minute. But, you know, Marge and Jim had picked up this little dog. Got him somehow by the side of the road, or David did, or somebody. But anyway, they had him, and they took him to the dentist and had some of his teeth pulled and different things. And Marge kept telling Margaret, she kept saying, "Margaret, you ought to take this little dog. You ought to take this little dog." And I could tell she was wearing Margaret down, you know. I told Margaret, I said, "Well, if you really want the little dog, go ahead and take it." And you know, we took the dog. And that was about the time the Lord was dealing with me about worshiping, you know, and seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I never had looked up the definition of the word worship. And when I looked it up, it just blew me away because I didn't have dogs when I was a kid, you know. I had one dog. It was a little beagle. My uncle gave it to me. And he kind of cried at nighttime. And we didn't know that you should put a clock or something in with him so they can hear some noise so that they'll settle down, because sometimes a puppy, when it's taken away from its mother, you know, it cries and stuff. Well, anyway, I think my brother took it out and accidentally on purpose lost it in the woods. We only had it for a couple nights, but I never did have a dog, so I didn't know how dogs really, what, you know, how they did. And when I was getting ready to speak on worship, I thought, I need to look up the definition of worship, you know, because the Lord was really dealing with me strong. When I looked that up, and it was to kiss like a dog licking its master's hand, to fawn, to prostrate, you know, basically to get in total submission. And you know, I thought, man, do we do that to the Lord, you know? And even watching Thor jump around on me and wanting to, you know, want me to pat him and licking on me and stuff. You know, and Joey was telling him, get down. But that was okay, because I was enjoying it, because he's a sweet little dog, you know. But you know what? he was expressing love to me, even though he didn't know me that well. And I was thinking, that's the way we should be with everybody out there, you know. And he says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. Now, one another doesn't necessarily mean that one in your family. That means any other. You could almost say that you love any other and that you show them the love of God. But anyway, that just really ministered to my heart about that little dog, because he was just, you know, loving on, love on me some. And he's a sweet little dog, you know. And Joey is, I don't think you're on Facebook, are you, Joey? So she ain't putting no pictures on there, but he's cute too. He's a cutie. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to get Margaret to put a couple on there of him, the grand puppy. But anyway, hold on just a minute here, and then I didn't bring my glasses over here. And I appreciate your prayers. And, hopefully tomorrow I'll get this knee taken care of, and it'll feel a lot better after a while. But, pray for the people in the church. There's a lot of people that are still a little fearful about coming out, and it's okay. I don't blame anybody if they're a little leery of coming out, being in a group or anything. And we're trying to distance. We got only a few people here, so we're distancing pretty good, keeping that 6-foot distance. But, you know, the title to my sermon today is New Year, and I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I go into that. And so Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. I ask you to take these words that you've given me, these scriptures, and I ask you to just minister to people's hearts and encourage them. And anybody that hears this on the internet, Father, that you would just minister to them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. You know, I felt like I should write this down. Let's start this year off anew with determination. Having a strong feeling that you're going to do something and that you will not allow anyone or anything to stop you from seeking God's perfect will and purpose for your life. And I know some people like to make New Year's resolutions, and I don't necessarily believe in New Year's resolutions, but I'm going to tell you what, if you have the determination to do that, and you have having a strong feeling that you're going to do something and you will not allow anyone or anything to stop you from seeking God. You know, I hear people sometimes, they'll say, well, you know, I was going to come to church, but this happened or that happened, and there's nothing wrong. I'm not never trying to lay a guilt trip on people for not coming to church. But a lot of times, if somebody says, well, I just wasn't feeling too good, so I didn't come to church today, you know, I guarantee you, if they get a call at home and somebody says, hey, let's go shopping, all of a sudden they're feeling better and they're up and out going shopping or whatever. But anyway, I just want you to know, let's be determined that we're going to seek the face of the Lord. We're going to spend time with him. We're going to, you know, he said today, when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me, you know. And a lot of times people say, well, I don't hear from God that much. Well, maybe it's because you aren't spending time seeking him, you know. If you don't seek him, you ain't going to find him, you know. He'll find you eventually, but you ain't going to find him. You know, in Psalm 37, 4-6, it says, I like this, delight thyself also in the Lord. And when it's saying delight thyself also in the Lord, I like that what that word delight means. You know, in the natural, we tend to think that to delight something is, well, to be happy about it or happy-go-lucky or something, you know, that kind of thing. But it actually has a different meaning than that. That word there means to be soft and pliable. So really what it's saying is to be soft and pliable when it comes to the Lord. And if something's soft and pliable, that means if God wants to bend you a certain way, you willingly go that way. Or if he wants to form and fashion you in a certain way, like a potter, that you just so yield to that. Because I tell you what, anytime that you resist God, it isn't going to do you no good, because he's in control and he's sovereign. But you'll make it a lot easier on yourself if you'll just yield and be soft and pliable. And it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And, you know, when you think of somebody giving somebody the desires of their heart, you can think of, well, bless God, I desire a new car. And it's not talking about that. He's talking about when you're soft and pliable in him, all of a sudden the desires of your heart will be to please the Lord. It will be to move and flow with him as he wants to move and flow in you. And the other things will also happen. You know, he'll give you things, but the things are not important. And a lot of times, if you listen to a lot of Christians out there, a lot of the preaching out there, you'd think that having a new Cadillac parked in the garage or whatever was God's really blessing me. Well, that's not no sign that God's blessing you. That's just a sign that you went out and bought a car that's a very expensive car, is what it really amounts out to. And, you know, the next verse says, commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And when it says to commit thy way unto the Lord, that word commit there has the meaning of to remove or to roll away your way. And when you're willing to roll away your way, or you're willing to remove your way, guess what you'll get? His way. And his way is way better than yours, you know? And it says, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass, the things that he desires to happen in your life. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And you know, his righteousness is an imparted righteousness. He imparts it to us. We don't do anything to deserve it. We don't deserve it. But it doesn't make any difference. He gives it to us because he loves us. It's his righteousness. In Matthew 6:31 through 34, I love this. This is the message, and here's what it says. And this is the gist of what I just said to you, if you could really hear it. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you both know God and how he works. Steep your lives in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't worry about what he's doing in the future. Don't worry about what he did yesterday. Pay attention to what God's doing right now. Today, Scripture says, if you'll hear his voice. You know, don't harden your hearts like they did in the day of provocation. And they wandered around in the wilderness because they hardened their hearts. And you know what? Don't harden your heart. Keep it soft and pliable. Move and flow as God moves you. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. You know, sometimes as Christians, we allow ourselves to get worked up over things that are happening out there in the world. We don't need to do that. Because I tell you what, God's got it in control. Just flow with God. Just trust him. And you'll find out that you'll walk through whatever happens, and it'll be fine. No plague will come nigh you. The house ain't going to burn down because you do that. Everything will be fine. God's got it. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. And boy, that's an assuring thing to know that no matter what happens, he's going to be with you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, I think I might have told you a couple of weeks ago that Paul made that statement. He had learned that whatsoever state he was in, therewith be content. And he also said at another time, godliness with contentment is great gain. And, you know, I think he might have been in prison when he wrote that. Now, man, that's a pretty rough place to be. But I tell you what, he had learned that he wasn't there alone. God was right there with him. And God will be with you every step of the way, no matter what's happening. You know, in Isaiah 43, 18 through 21, it says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Now, I'm gonna kind of explain that a little bit. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Don't worry about what happened in 2020. Concern yourself with what God's doing now, today. Because if you spend time worrying about what happened yesterday, you're going to lose your focus on what God's doing today. And you're going to wear yourself out because, you know, you're spending time worrying about something that, guess what? You can't change what happened yesterday. Yesterday's in the past. It says, "Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it?" Now, if you're worrying about tomorrow, you won't see that new thing. And you'll have a tendency that you don't know what God's doing. But if you're trusting in him, "Behold, I'll do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, if he took Israel through the wilderness and through the desert, he supplied all their needs according to his riches and glory. When they didn't have water, he gave them water. But what did they do? They started grumbling and complaining. When they didn't have anything to eat, he gave them manna from heaven. What did they do? After a while, they started complaining about that. So they said, you know, we don't have any meat. So what did he do? He said, "I'll give you so much meat until it runs out of your nostrils." And he caused great flocks of birds to fly and to end up landing in the camp. He gave them a bunch of pheasant or maybe a bunch of turkey or whatever it was. I don't know what kind of bird it was, but I'm going to tell you what, he supplied. But you know what? We need to make sure that we don't spend a lot of time complaining with God. We start praising him and thanking him no matter what situation is happening, what's going on. It says, "The beasts of the field honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen." And God's going to always give you the refreshing drink of the water of his word if you'll just trust him. "This people have I formed for myself. They show forth my praise." In Lamentations 3, 21 through 24, it says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." You know, God's mercies are new every morning. Every morning. "And great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." Rich was talking a little bit about hope back there in Sunday school. And I got news for you. If you're hoping in anything other than in the Lord, you got your fixation on something that shouldn't be on. Because the only person that you can really hope in is him. Hope is the anchor of our souls, Scripture says. You know, by hope you're saved. And up in the New Testament, that word hope usually has the meaning of to anticipate, usually with pleasure. And, you know, once God meets you in certain ways and you hope in him and your hope is in him, it's the anchor of your soul, then you can anticipate with pleasure what he's going to do, that he's going to meet you each and every time, no matter what's going on. Psalm 89:1 says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." And, you know, we used to sing that song a lot. "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, you know. And that's a great song. And, you know, I was thinking about the 23rd Psalm. And the 23rd Psalm has always been special to me because in the 23rd Psalm, David had been a shepherd boy. He'd been out in the fields as a young boy, and the Lord would meet him out there Because when the lion or the bear or whatever tried to steal the sheep, God would let the anointing rest on David, and David would rise up and he'd kill the lion or he'd kill the bear. And he was just a boy. But I tell you what, I don't care what tries to come into your life. Jesus is the great shepherd of your life. And you know, pastors and ministers they're called shepherds, but we're way under shepherds compared to him. And all we should be doing is speaking the word that he gives us to speak. And it should always be about him and not about us, you know. And I love this, as the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you know, if he's your shepherd, you don't have to want for anything. You just have to trust him. You know, the shepherd used to lead the sheep to pasture. He'd lead the sheep to water. He'd put them back into a crevice, and he'd get in front of the, what would have been the entrance to that, so that nothing could come in there unless he allowed it to come in there. And that's the way the Lord is in our lives. He's protecting us. He's taking care of us. And whatever he allows to come into your life, it's for a purpose if we'll just say, Lord, what do you want me to learn out of this? What are you teaching me out of this situation? You know, you guys know that I tested positive for that coronavirus a few weeks back, you know, when I was going to have the surgery before. And I didn't get to have the surgery. Well, there was probably a reason I didn't get to have that surgery. Who knows? Maybe the doctor might have messed up that day or had a bad night or something. I don't know. But I was not sick. I was asymptomatic. I didn't get sick. And you know, I thank God that I didn't, you know. And in the next verse, he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Well, you know, I was reading, and you know, sheep, if you've ever seen a sheep, before you shear them, they get pretty full with fur or wool or whatever you want to call it. And if they happen to step out into get a drink of water, and it's not still water, you know, if it's rushing water, it'll carry them off. They you know, that wool and stuff will drag them right out into there if it gets real wet, and they can't escape that. And I also was reading where they said a lot of times that with a sheep, if something happens that it falls over, they can't always get up because of all the wool and stuff if they fall over on their side. And they said that a lot of times they'll roll over on their back and their feet will be sticking up in the air. Now, you know, they'll keep, you know, trying to kick their feet around. And they said if they lay there very long, they'll suffocate to death. So they said the shepherd has to keep an eye on them. And he literally has to come and grab them by their legs and turn them over and put them back on their feet and massage their legs to get circulation back into their legs so that they can walk and stuff. And when you think about that, that's a lot of care. That's a lot of oversight. And you know, God has that oversight of us. He wants to take care of you. He's there all the time. He's looking out for you constantly. And it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For whose name's sake? Yours? No. For his. Because you know why? Because you are his namesake. You know, it's not as common today as it was in years past, but used to be years ago, people would tend to, when their children were born, they would tend to name them after the father or after the grandfather or something like that. And, you know, I tried to get Joey to name one of her kids Oscar Clyde, but she wouldn't agree to it. They just wouldn't agree to it. Daggone it. We tried. You know, when I was a kid, I hated that name Oscar because I was always in school. I was always the only Oscar, usually. There wasn't no other Oscars. Now, there's some pretty famous Oscars. Oscar Robertson, you know, a great basketball player. Oscar Bonavita, he was a really good boxer. You know, there's various ones. And but I always hated that name. And always when they'd call roll when I the first couple of days of school, when they'd say Oscar, I'd say here, you know. And all my family always called me Junior. Well, the only reason that Joey and her kids a lot of times call me Oscar is because they knew me first from church before they became family, you know. So they still call me Oscar, but that's okay. But to everybody else, I'm Junior. And to all my nieces, I'm Junior Honey, because Margaret always called. She never just called me Junior. She'd say Junior Honey. So they'll say, how's Junior Honey doing? You know, because the kids tend to follow what you say. But anyway, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And you know what? What namesake is when you give somebody else your name. And you know, that's what he did. He gave us his name, his nature, his character. That's what he's trying to give us all the time. He wants us to grow, like we said in Ephesians back there, in Ephesians the fourth chapter. He wants us to come into to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. He wants us to come into the unity of the Spirit unto a really mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro by sleight of men and cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, grow up into him in all things. And you know, that's what he wants us to do, speak the truth in love. And we become his namesake. You know, I was my dad's namesake. I was not the firstborn son. My brother Wiley was the firstborn son. And back, you know, I'm old enough to back in those days, you got named after your father, usually. Somebody did, you know. And, you know, I didn't know when Mark was born. He was born on my dad's birthday. I didn't know that, or I might have named him Oscar. He's probably glad I didn't, but... but anyway, so he didn't get named Oscar, but you know, I had two uncles that were in the military, and those two uncles were over in World War II, you know, and one of them's name was Wiley, and the other one's name was Lloyd. So my brother got named Wiley Lloyd because my father, to honor them, he couldn't go to the service because a chainsaw had broke and hit him in the leg and hit him in the throat. And it didn't kill him, but he kind of had a limp from that, you know. And they wouldn't take him into service because of that. So to honor them, he named his firstborn son Wiley Lloyd, after those two. And you know, you all know my Uncle Wiley. He comes here sometimes, and my brother's name is Wiley. But his name is actually Wiley Lloyd. But he was namesaked for them. But I was namesaked for my father. Well, later on, when I got a book of names that told the meaning of names, I always didn't like the name Oscar, and I always hated. When I came to church out here, the reason I called Oscar here is because when I went in the first prayer meeting, Joey's grandfather, his name was Ellsworth Holden, and they called him Junior. And when I was in that prayer meeting, I heard them calling him Junior, and then when they asked me what my name was, I didn't tell them Junior. You know, I told them my name was Oscar, because, you know, that would have been confusing. When you said Junior, you wouldn't know who you was talking about. But anyway, so I got my dad's namesake, and then that when I found out the meaning of that name, I thought, hey, that's not too bad after all. I like hearing that. And the name Oscar means divine spirit. You know, and I thought, okay, that's a good one. I want God's divine spirit to dwell in me, you know. So when you call me Oscar now, I just say, okay. But anyway, the next verse says, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod and staff of a shepherd were used for protection, and they were also used, the staff was, the one with the crook on the end of it, was used to pull sheep back when they were in a dangerous situation. And I got news for you. When God's walking with you and when he's got his hand in your life, you can probably point back to many situations to where, you know, he's pulled you back out of something and kept you from doing something you shouldn't. I had friends when I was growing up. I mean, I grew up in Mount Auburn, and it was a fairly rough neighborhood. I had friends who stole cars and did all kinds of stuff. But the Lord always kind of kept me from going as far as they did. I was down with a friend playing cards one time at his uncle's house, and we'd play penny ante poker back then. And I wasn't that old. I was only about 12, but I always looked older than I was, and I hung around with boys that were 2 or 3 years older than me, you know. And anyway, two of the boys left, and I was getting ready to go home, and I walked out, and they wanted me to get in a car with them. They came by with this car, and they said, come on, let's go for a ride. And I said, no, I said, I don't think so. I'm going home. Well, come on, we'll ride you home. You know, no, I said. Something told me, don't get in that car. Well, they had stole that car. And both of those guys went to reform school over that. They ran from the police, and they wrecked the car and everything else. Now, you know, there's always something inside of you that God's there, and he keeps you from getting into the things that you shouldn't get into, you know. But, you know, he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, goodness and mercy. His mercies are new every day. The goodness part of it is there's none good but God. So any goodness that's in you, it's not because of you, it's because of him and his presence. You know, Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And you know, mercy is something that when you extend mercy to other people, God extends, he's already extended that mercy to you. But if you don't extend it to other people, then you're not going to get it in return, you know. And, you know, I love that song, that it's an old gospel song. And the words are, great are thy faithfulness, great are thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I love that song because it really tells you the whole story of what the Lord's doing. His mercy, when Jesus came to this earth, he came to extend the mercy of God to all of mankind, the forgiveness of God to all of mankind. You know, and in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And you know, that's not a very good translation there when it says children of God, because it's the word weos. And weos doesn't mean a little child. It means a full-grown son. And when you begin to create peace in people's life and want to see peace and not agitation and not aggravation and all those other things, and you become a peacemaker, then that's one of the signs that you're becoming a son of God. And not an immature son of God, but a mature son of God. And you know, I'm just going to read you these a little bit. It says, I am the way. Jesus said that. And if he's the way, then if you'd listen and hear what his spirit would say, he would say, walk with me, and you'll know the way. I am the truth. And if you would hear his spirit speak to you, he'd say, believe in me. And I am the life, he would say, live in me. Rejoice in me. Joy and gladness will overflow in your life. For this is the will of God concerning you. Praise me, and I will inhabit your praises. I will never leave you or never forsake you. What a tremendous promise we have there. You know, you don't have to say in any situation, Lord, where are you? Because he's dwelling right inside of you. His presence, his spirit is right inside of you. All you have to do is begin to acknowledge him and say, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? And just trust that he's going to direct your paths. He's going to lead you in the way you should go in whatever situation it is. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And, you know, I'm going to read that one beginning thing again that I read to you. Let's start this year with a new determination, having a strong feeling that you are going to do something that you will not allow anyone or anything to stop you from seeking God's perfect will and purpose for your life. And he said, in the day that you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And you know, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. And you know what? That's what he wants us to do. And if we'll do that, we'll be fulfilling his word. If you all stand, I'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you as we go forth into this new year here, Father, let us rejoice in each and every day that your mercies are new and fresh each and every day. Let us extend your mercies to those around us. Let us begin to just praise you in all situations and all circumstances, knowing that you are God and that, Lord, no matter what's happening, you got us in the palm of your hand, and no man can snatch us out of the palm of your hand. And Father, I just thank you for what you're going to do. I ask a special blessing upon your people as we go forth. I ask you, Father, to begin to turn this awful virus around, Father. Let people begin to come back from this thing, because it's been a terrible situation. But even in all that, we don't understand what you're doing in the midst of it. But we know that you're going to find glory in everything that happens, Lord, if we'll just trust you and look to you. And Father, I just ask you to bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all.